Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 312. My name is Andy.
It's Pi. No, that's 314. 312 is a Chicago area code.
Yes.
My name's Nathan.
And
I'm Travis.
Hey, it's Travis.
I was thinking it was going to take a couple seconds longer for Travis to jump on, but he must have been literally waiting at his keyboard the whole time, because we were supposed to go not live. We're supposed to start recording this crap at 6:30, but then I ate something at like 3:30 in the afternoon, and I had to leave at about 6:25. So,
I ate something at 6:15, and I horfed it down in 10 minutes to make sure I got here on time. And God, I wish I hadn't, because it was the best steak I have ever made or eaten in my life. It was orgasmic. And I'm going to just make steak for myself every day from now on, because apparently I've got it.
You got it?
I haven't ate yet. So I was,
Yeah.
Cast iron skillet, butter base with garlic and rosemary, semi-boneless ribeye.
I have a cast iron skillet. This has just been sitting in my cupboard for the last like 5 years. I feel bad.
Sometime I'll come over and I'll bring a couple steaks and I'll show you how to butter baste them.
I'm alone tonight. Let's go.
No, I can't move. I just ate a giant fucking steak.
I want steak. And the reason why David's not here is because he's making food for his family. He said he was going to be here at 7. It is now 7:04.
That son of a bitch.
Time it up right there. Travis was ready.
He's on the ball. He's old reliable.
I am.
Old faithful.
Sure.
No, you're old faithful. I messaged you earlier on today like to see if you could be on the podcast. And you're like, yeah. I'm like, sweet. We're supposed to have somebody else, but it's a whole day of fail.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Although I will say I was caught off guard, because not to just lean into the fail and start like ranting at each other, but like we have been doing like 6:30, and then like at like 4 or whatever, the text man I'm like, all right, everybody can be ready at 8, and I'm like, the fuck you talking about 8?
I did say 7:30, because that's when the other person could be on, and then Dave had a hard out at 8.
Nobody told me any of those times.
I did say 7:30.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was 7:30.
Yeah.
Because it's right there under your Go Bois post.
Yeah.
See, there's Go Bois.
Travis, that was when you were on here before.
I can play it.
No, I don't need to go blah.
It's tapped to unmute.
It's hard to do.
You took so much time and effort for this.
So
thing.
Much dead air for that. That's great.
And it's fail. I can't even hear it. Because it's not necessarily your mic.
Yeah, I was showing you. I wasn't playing it for the audience. The audience could have queued up the video in that time themselves. Andy will edit all of this out.
No, I don't. I don't edit this out.
You have completely disappointed me.
Okay, do you want me to put here now that you've seen it? I'll play it into my microphone.
Forgot to mention, too, is I'm very, very glad that friend of the podcast, Lance, is fully recovered. Well, he was taken off the ventilator. Like, this is back in April. I think we talked about this before.
COVID sucks, yo.
COVID sucks. Also, wear a mask. Come on.
Wash your damn hands. Wear a mask.
Okay, so now everybody can go back and listen to that while they watch the thing that I showed Travis.
Yeah. Go blah.
Was that better, Travis?
No.
Travis, you're the Kyle of War Machine.
I didn't know what Travis being the Eric Cartman of War Machine meant.
That one made no sense at all, and that's why I'm going to the. You're definitely more of a Kyle.
So Andy, for reference on this story,
yeah,
I made a Warcaster rules post, and someone said that I am the Eric Cartman of War Machine.
That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
I would maybe. Actually, I think I might have a better one. I think you're the Butters of War Machine.
Everyone knows it's Butters.
He's so happy. Yeah.
Again, I don't know any of the references.
Oh,
that's fine.
Butters is always faithful, though. He's faithful.
He's very happy.
Yeah, he's happy.
He's very optimistic.
Yep. Yeah.
So Nathan, why do you think I'm the Kyle?
Can I be the tweak? Well, Kyle and Stan are interchangeable. They kind of have different personalities after a couple seasons, but at first they're basically the same because they're the two author inserts and they both just co-wrote everything, and so they're whatever. But just because they're the ones that aren't irredeemable shitheads. Like the main starting four, you have an irredeemable shithead who literally fed somebody's parents to them and is a member of like the clan. Like he is a monster.
Yep.
Right.
Sometimes can be good though.
No. No. You have a pervert who dies, and that's his whole shtick, and eventually they just killed him off for good.
Is that Kenny?
Yeah. Kenny's two things is that he's horny as hell and always dies. And then Stan, who's like the guy who's right and yells at Cartman, and Kyle, who's Stan but Jewish.
Pretty much.
They split him off a little more as time goes on, but like the first couple seasons, that's who their characters were.
Because I'm effectively the straight man of War Machine.
Yeah. Butters. Like
sure.
It's not an insult. I don't feel that it's an insult, but yeah.
The Eric Cartman one was definitely an insult.
Yeah.
So. And I guarantee the Eric Cartman one was completely based on one episode from the first season being latched onto. Because I guarantee whoever called you the Eric Cartman of War Machine is somebody who was wrong once upon a time, and you said, well, no, that's not how the rule works. And then they flash back to Respect My Authority, and they latched onto it like a lamprey. Andy, I'm going to say your tweak.
I'm a little bit more calm now. but yeah, I was tweak is he's an addict. He has issues.
Yeah. No, maybe
I need more popsicles.
Your tweak for banana popsicles. Announcements: early registration for LVO opened.
Yep, for 2021.
2021. So it's really early registration.
Which I highly doubt we're going to be out of COVID-19 by the 2021 in February.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
So good luck to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
I'm spending all my money on fun stuff because society is going to collapse in the next like 6 months. So I might as well have like a decent computer and a lot of animated Gwent cards when it happens.
I'm just saying that when I got through the previous Great Recession and ended up having to leave a house in a kind of short order as a result of that, I made the commitment to avoid investing in anything other than education, and right now I'm feeling good about that.
Bullets and guzzling.
Yeah, I have noticed since I've stopped going into work, where I've been working from home, I've had a plethora of extra money in my bank account.
Yeah.
It's like every single time I go into work, I would stop at the gas station. I would pick up two energy drinks for the morning. Yep. I would pick up like a bunch of other extra food. So that's like, you know, $10, $12
a day.
Your
$10 gas station breakfast every morning.
But then I would also stop at the breakfast place in my building to pick up bacon and some eggs. And then go up to my cube. So, I mean, it's about $15 to $20 a single day I'd be spending.
In breakfast. What did you do for lunch?
actually, most of the time I'd skip lunch and then I'd have it.
Oh, you wouldn't go to Chipotle or Roulette.
Then I would have a sensible meal after that.
That makes me very jealous because when I worked at Quad, back when I worked at Quad Tech, before they laid me off and made Nathan very annoyed at me.
Son of a bitch.
I got him! they always had the breakfast thing, so I'd always the same thing. I would go and get hash browns and scrambled eggs or eggs over hard and bacon, and it was like, this is amazing every day.
Yeah. Breakfast is all garbage. Let me tell you, I hacked breakfast at my workplace. No. Breakfast is the worst meal of the day.
No, breakfast is the best meal of the day.
I can kick Nathan from the channel immediately.
But anyway, there's like three good breakfast foods, and they're great. They're fucking great. Like bacon, French toast, and waffles. Yeah. Anything else isn't, like, anything egg-based, fuck off. Bacon is only a breakfast food because you're saying it. Don't limit yourself. Have bacon for lunch. Speaking of which, so here's how I hacked breakfast at my workplace.
Omelets are God's food, and I'll stab you over that.
Okay. I mean, they'd be better if they just didn't exist. But, so they have free rolls with your meals. So they just have, like, a basket of rolls on the table where you can just grab some rolls. Yum, yum, yum. They have, like, a toppings section for, like, hamburgers and whatnot. So they've got, like, the lettuce and the tomatoes and everything like that. Okay? So you go over there and you spend the $2 for a couple big rashers of bacon. These are nice, big, thick, like, good style thing. $2. And then you grab a free roll and some lettuce and tomato and mayonnaise, and you make the best goddamn $2 BLT you've ever had in your life. That was my breakfast every day. It was amazing. Yep.
Mine was just a...
And BLT, not breakfast food, and that's why it's good.
I'm a big fan of steak and eggs, so...
I'm a fan of half of those things.
I can do, like,
steak and
eggs.
You take a steak and eggs, and you just get rid of the eggs, and then have literally anything else.
You don't like eggs?
I like eating babies.
They're not real babies. They're unfertilized slab of marbles.
Yeah, it's okay, Travis. Yeah, they don't have a heartbeat.
Dinosaur abortions.
Yeah, Travis, they don't have a heartbeat. They're okay. Oh,
that's a fetus that has a heartbeat.
I think I just got exhausted, demonetized, and removed from platforms. I might have to edit this podcast.
The egg abortion thing that David mentioned reminded me of one of my favorite little memes, which was that 100% of Yoshis surveyed were in favor of terminating the life of the child when the mother was in danger.
Christ.
I mean, how do you have a species whose main line of defense is hurling its young, its unborn young? I mean, that's like quokka, right?
No, here, eat my baby. Really, that's not really a defense. It's more an offense, though.
Well, I think in general, Yoshis don't go looking for trouble, right? That's more of a birdo.
Birdo. If you do,
birdo's looking for trouble, right?
Birdo's just trying to protect the baby. Yeah. Yeah. It was protecting Mario, but then it's throwing eggs around. If you're doing the, like, Yoshi's Island or Yoshi's Yarn thing.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, like, if the enemies would leave Yoshi alone, I don't think Yoshi would just go, you know what, I want to fuck some people's day up and just go into the Mushroom Kingdom hurling babies at Goombas.
Probably not, yeah.
So, that's I'm going to tangent a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Have you guys watched the latest season of Rick and Morty?
No.
I watched the first episode. Then I tried to watch the second episode, but AdultSwim.com refused to admit that my cable service existed, and so so I haven't watched anything since then.
It's all.
So I heard they broke the fifth wall.
It's all on HBO Max now.
Oh, is it?
So,
yep.
Doom Patrol is on HBO Max. What the fuck's up with that?
I think Doom Patrol is also on Rooster Teeth's streaming service as well.
It's everywhere. And when I saw Doom Patrol, I'm sorry, Travis, we'll get back. I didn't mean to diverge here. But when I saw Doom Patrol on HBO Max, I got all excited that some of the other DC stuff, like Swamp Thing or Harley Quinn, would be on there. But nope, just Doom Patrol.
No, most
and the shitty live action movies.
Yeah, all they don't have the best one that I want to watch from the beginning, but it's not showing anymore. Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I need to watch that.
It's good.
Anyway, yeah. Travis, sorry, you were talking about
Rick and Morty. I was tangenting on eggs with the Rick and Morty episode where
does he turn himself into an egg?
No, they go to an alien asteroid and they look at some really wet eggs. And the really wet eggs have a face hugger that takes control of the body and regurgitates an egg. So the issue I have on it is, how does that species propagate greater than the sum of people, because they make one egg per host, so they can never become more than...
Does it kill the host?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it murders the host.
Yeah.
So they can never...
Sorry.
The species can never propagate greater than that number. There's no possible way.
So the Geiger xenomorphs are the same way, right? Like they need a host.
But the queen lays a number of eggs to host to make that final stage. This has no queen laying of the eggs. The eggs are, you hatch from an egg, you infect a host, and you lay an egg.
Well,
and
you die. So,
and you only lay one egg.
Yeah. I don't think the actual the face hugger dies though in.
Oh yeah,
but it's still
they die.
Yeah, they die real bad.
Okay.
It's, yeah, that it's doesn't work mathematically.
But the xenomorphs still, like the Geiger xenomorphs from the Aliens films, are going to be limited the same way because, yeah, the queen can lay infinite eggs. So you can have infinite face huggers. But drones, you can only have one per host captured.
Right.
Correct. Because that stage of evolution. Now, they can host off of everything, which was one of the best part of Alien 3 was having a different species of drone by having a dog host. That was really cool.
But that was off of a face hugger, though.
Yeah,
but, right. But that's one reproducing individual can still have multiple offspring. If the way that you get the egg is requires a single egg and it kills the creature that lays the egg, then you can't, your population goes down to zero because you can't, each individual can't reproduce more than one.
Certain of those facehuggers though can be the queens though, because they the one that infected Ripley in the ship before Alien 3 was a queen.
Queen.
Is that that's again, what they said in Alien 3 was a queen.
You can have infinite face huggers, but drones are limited the same way that this Rick and Morty species are limited. There's just extra steps to get there.
Correct.
In a way, yes. If you ran out of hosts, you couldn't propagate your species. Yes. Total agreement on that.
Yeah.
This one's more of the just ignoring that part. And like we're talking parallel to each other at this point.
Also, Alien 3 is a great movie.
The assembly cut fixes a lot of the issues. There are few movies that got fucked over as much in production as Alien 3. It was an absolute disaster. It's functionally the same thing as like a director's cut, but it's not called the director's cut because the director has disowned the film because it was so fucked over during production. Sure. But it's the repaired as much as it can be repaired version.
Yep.
Is that with like deleted scenes or just
deleted scenes, some stuff's moved around.
Kind of like the Snyder cut for Justice League that's coming out soonish. I don't know when.
They're never gonna be happy about the Snyder cut.
It is
Justice League is actually not that bad of a film. It's bad, but it's watchable.
Yeah.
compared to the rest of the DC films.
It is tolerable compared to the rest of the DC films.
It's like you go with Wonder Woman is probably their best. No, hold on. Scratch that. Shazam is probably their best of the DC universe films. Wonder Woman, then I would say Aquaman, and then Justice League, and then the rest can go shit in a barrel. I'm not sure what terminology that is, but I made it up.
Wasn't The Rock doing
Black Adam?
Black Adam. Like I can't remember. Shazam kept coming into my head, and it's like that's not the right name. I know that's not the right name.
I am shocked that the Snyder Cut exists just because nowadays, like you go back to like Alien 3, you can do an assembly cut because you shot something, it's there pretty much. Like they have some CG stuff that they do, but in general, the actors are there, you know, it's there. With the Snyder Cut, how much of stuff was cut in pre-production? So it's just a wireframe Aquaman on a black background. Like, even during test screening, this shit doesn't exist yet. So either they're spending tens of millions of dollars finishing these scenes, or when it comes out, it's going to have garbage wireframe with T-pose Aquaman flying around, it's not really the full Snyder Cut because they're still leaving things out that weren't finished.
Yeah, it's got to be interesting because he's either going to have to put money on the line for himself or Warner Brothers or whoever. I don't know if Warner Brothers did that film, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever group did the film is putting money on the line for that.
Warner Brothers,
because there's got to be the point where he's like, I desperately need this scene. And that scene was just T-pose cartoon Superman on a green background. And somebody's got to pay to finish it. Somebody's got to get that mustache. Yeah. Yes.
Well, was that mustache all because he was in Mission Impossible?
It was a fuck you from the other film to them. Basically,
well, I mean, what were they going to do? They're like, because they had filmed like half their movie with a mustache, and then Justice League's like, hey, we need him back with no mustache. Like Mission Impossible's like,
Cavill said that he's like, I can grow this back pretty quickly, and then just no.
Yeah, but how quickly is quickly? Yeah. I mean, even if it's a couple weeks, that shit adds up.
I watched him punch a beard into place with his arm flexes. Was that the mustache or the beard that pops into place?
I don't know, but that movie's pretty good. All but one of the Mission Impossibles are good.
Yep.
I was going to say I like Henry because he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's big a gamer. Big Witcher fan.
Yeah, that's about the only reason why.
Miniature guy, yeah.
But the only reason why The Witcher got made was because of him.
And, he treated it with respect, too. That's the best part about it, is he has such an appreciation for what he puts his mind into that, like, he did a lot of that training with the sword stuff, so he knew how to look fluid with the sword and all the stuff that goes into the passion of that movie and that film series and everything goes along with that. So it's really cool to see that.
Yet he killed somebody that person endangered humans after they just destroyed New York City in their fight.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'm talking about the passion of Superman.
Superman, yeah.
It may be because he has more clout in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, The Witcher
was able
to him. Yeah. He's like, we are making this. And, he had way more control.
I bet he's a producer on The Witcher as well. Yeah. Or at least some, like, you know, that higher level discussion of it versus, hey, I'm just the new star for Superman. I take cues and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in a position where he could demand that Superman would take on a giant spider. So, I mean, that's, he would be in that position for The Witcher.
Yeah.
The Superman thing is so frustrating because it's so fixable. And that's always what irritates me most about films is the closer they are to being fixable. Like, if it's irredeemable, it's one thing, but, like, all you have to do is make it so that Superman realizes the damage that's being done and realizes the cost of this fight, and that's why he makes this personal sacrifice of doing something that is going to haunt him forever, right? Instead, he just, he didn't care about any of those people, but now suddenly these three people that are in
visual line of sight
You just need literally 2 seconds. A 2-second shot of him looking at the catastrophe and being haunted by it.
Hell,
taking his senses and expounding that, like, when he's holding himself, and boom, you just see the whole city, like, it just echoes out, and you just pan away, and then you pan back in, and that's all you need.
Or you can
all
break
of a sudden, that's huge, and you can bring it back in Batman v Superman by having him still being haunted by what he did, whereas in the current Batman v Superman, he really doesn't care.
No. Yep. No. What they could have done is they could have actually spliced the 2-second clip or the 5-second clip from Superman 2 and just clip it in there as with Christopher Reeves as Superman looking around, seeing all the damage done and then flying away. That they could have just done that.
So speaking of ruined movies, I had the pleasure today. Aggie sent me a video on some graphic CG artists fixing the Mummy 2.
With the Scorpion King at the end?
With the Scorpion King.
that needs to happen.
I think I've seen that same video. Oh. It is actually really good. Whoever did it, they're also doing it with technology that's
it's 15 with years Olivia, since then.
But the reason that got brought up is because I was watching... Because I really enjoy the Shadowlands cinematic trailer from Blizzard for World of Warcraft.
Which one is it?
Where the Lich King gets off the throne and then Sylvanas destroys him.
Yep.
Well, the reason that got brought up is I noticed today that the Lich King's mace or maul, because it's not really a mace, it's a maul. The thing is up to his neck when he slams on the ground. In one scene, you see him slamming on the ground, and it's up to his neck. Well, when it gets up at the beginning of the episode, the beginning of the thing, he picks up, he's holding it in his right hand, and then all of a sudden he turns it, and he rotates it like this through his body, and I'm like, wait, they just forgot how long that thing was, because it went all the way through both legs for him to hold it with both arms. And I'm just like, damn it, I noticed this now, and it bothered me that I noticed it, so then Maggie sent me that.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it.
It's right at the beginning, when he stands up from the throne. It's like, son of a...
What's funny is, and I don't know how they made their trailers, you know, how much of it is 3D modeling, how much is like 2D art and stuff like that, but like Pixar movies and stuff, sometimes you, if you watch the behind the scenes, like they know these things, but for camera angle purposes, they'll cheat on purpose. Like they'll have shots of somebody walking down a hall and like the camera's like doing like the Kubrick thing where it's below them looking up. Yep. And then if they show how they filmed it, like the character's at a 45 degree angle, just like levitating down the hallway because that's the way they needed to position the model to get the shot.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. No, and shit'll go through them because again, they're like, they'll have that shot. And they're like, the shot needs to look like that. And so if they zoom out, you'll see the mall go straight through his torso as he rotates it. Because it's not like they forgot; like it's a physical model in their CGI. Yeah, they just cheat it. They just cheat it.
Oh yeah, that's many years ago when I was big into programming graphics like that. One of the things I realized is that after I had changed some stuff to make it more realistic, like the way light attenuates in real life, I realized that all of my stuff looked boring, and so I just changed everything up, changed the formulas for everything so it looked nicer, even though it was completely unrealistic.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it's that exact thing. It's like you wouldn't run into this problem with games like The Last of Us or anything that uses the CG capture of a human body because they can't do that. And so I wonder how they, thinking about this now, is how they cheat that sort of thing, to your point, Nathan, of they use that cheat in their programming, but how do they do that when they're using a live action capture to do
I'm not an expert on this. My guess, based on the way the technology works, is that they probably use motion capture for just about everything, and then manually edit it to fit in.
Okay.
Yeah, and they'll do interesting stuff. Like I actually was watching. It just came up on my suggestions on YouTube one day, and I watched like two or three of his videos. But this guy who takes games and like breaks them so he can like leave the boundaries and stuff with the camera just to see how specifically these kinds of things. And so he was doing like Resident Evil 2, and he was finding like Mr. X is like supposed to like rip open this wall at a certain part, and he's in a box like 50 feet above the building, just like in a little, it's almost like he's in a little phone booth. And that's because his model has to exist. They can't just make the model appear. Right. They can teleport the model. So they have him in a little phone booth, just kind of standing there twiddling his thumbs, and then they teleport him there. And like, yeah. And it's really neat. Like, how they just cheat this shit.
Yeah. Because they can't put him, they don't want to put him in because it's going to render. Yeah. So they put him someplace somewhere where he doesn't render.
Yep.
Or he might render, but so he doesn't have any leg when he pops out. Having to load his body part in. Yep. You know what would be really great for a team to do for fixing movies? Like the same guy who fixed the Scorpion King should go and fix the Warcraft movie and turn all the humans into actual like humans that look like they're from Warcraft. Because if there was CGI, like, them up.
Just with the weird proportions.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah, so they fit the world.
So they fit the world, because that's the only thing that really takes me out of that film. And I kind of like it, is the humans, they look too human.
Speaking of weird proportions and fitting the world, man, Gears of War, you want me to believe that humanity is starving to death? And these guys have got to be getting 10,000 calories of pure protein every single day.
Well, that's all they can eat is protein.
like the whole series, you should just be these little twig men, right? Yeah, sure. With brittle limbs. Like, also reminding on second to the cheating in Last of Us, one thing you'll never be able to unsee if nobody's ever brought this to your attention previously, but it's a trick from the last decade or so of that style of game. You'll see it in all the Naughty Dog games. You'll see it in like the Tomb Raider games and everything, is how often your character squeezes through a narrow passage. Like, you got to go through a little couple cave walls, or you got to go, like, there's a bookshelf that fell in a hallway and you got to squeeze past. You will see it 100 times per game, and every single time it's because they're loading the next area.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a loading screen.
It's a hidden loading screen. And now every time I see it, I'm like, you sons of bitches. It's like the Wilhelm scream. I can't not see it now.
Well, it's the same thing with doorways. And I mean, the original Resident Evil, those were actually load screens. But now when you walk through doorways in Resident Evil now, it's a load. Yep.
Yeah. But so now, because they can still do the load on the fly, so they don't have to hard stop like the old one, but they still have to, like, oh man, there's too much loaded. Let's just squeeze them through a gap in a wall.
I mean, it's really interesting the way a lot of the modern console games get around or reduce load times is that most of them, when they install to the disk, they're installed to the hard drive, they're much larger than what you download, because it makes several copies of what's downloaded. So you get more stretches of data on continuous blocks on the disk. so you can have the same models, the same textures and stuff multiple times. It's just set up so that after it loads one stretch off the disk, the next one is right next to it, so it doesn't have to do another seek.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's, you never think about like that we're approaching the limit of where technology, and you have to mutate technology to make it do what you want it to do because of the physical limitations that we have with our computers.
Oh yeah, it's getting interesting that, I mean, finally at some point programmers might actually have to get better, because we've been crutching on hardware advancing so fast for the past 40 years, and finally in the past 10 years it's actually started to slow down.
Yeah.
A fun question, because Nate, I don't remember, Nathan, are you dealing, you don't deal with computing as your job, correct?
No, I'm not a programmer or anything like that, no. I use computers.
Yeah. I'm curious on, like, because I used to work in a very hardware software environment, I'm excited in quotes for the next Y2K, which is the 2038 problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see, like, what we do as humanity to get around that. Nathan and Andy, are you aware of that?
I'm figuring that 2038 is probably a power of two of some kind. So in binary, it's some reset point.
2038 is when the 32-bit signed integer rolls over from 1970 until 2038.
Yeah. And
so at that point, embedded computers that use a 32-bit operating system, which have been in your vehicles, in streetlights, in all these embedded systems that you don't think about existing in your life, in your furnace and whatever, they've been there for 20 to 50 or 30 years, and they're going to still be there in 2038.
So here's, I think, the solution to that is, I'm not sure how much you need to worry about anything that involves the words civilization and the year 2038. I'm pretty sure you don't need to worry about that stuff.
I think that's for the ones, the natives that take over at that
point. Yeah, they have to worry about
the survivors will have to worry about their, you know, their calculator resetting.
I mean, also it was one of the early Unix developers, because I mean the year 2038 is primarily a Unix issue, because the starting from January 1st, 1970, that's called the Unix epoch. Because we have all of these instances in time to start counting time from, and in computers, the Unix epoch is the most common one, starting at January 1st, 1970, because it seemed like a good time in the early 70s when they were designing this stuff. But one of the early Unix developers was asked by one of his colleagues what they calculated out, and said, "Well, what happens in 2038?" And he said, "I don't know. I'll be dead by then. Somebody else will figure it out."
So I mean, what technically happens at that point? Then is it just the
your number rolls over from the max number to zero, so your time resets back to 1970.
Okay,
and so what happens is depending on
it's actually weirder than that. It reverts to 1902.
Yeah, it goes negative. And jumps you back in time.
Okay,
and so what happens if
it's GPS, like when Gandhi gets democracy.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, shit, my car's going to nuke me now?
But it does weird things that anything that relies on a date calculation, anything that possibly uses dates to fix.
Oh, well, roll back my car's odometer so I can sell it for way more.
Your car may not be worth anything by then. Remember,
it'll have zero miles on it. It'll be a classic with 0 miles on it, or negative 10, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
So the issue is, we don't know what it's going to do.
All the lights come on except for the check engine light.
So it's an interesting thing from a computing like standpoint, because it's like, oh, what's going to happen to all these Unix systems that we use as our backbone for like life? Because think about the infrastructure in America. We don't really like gut the whole infrastructure and replace it. It's as it's broken, we fix it. So we've got all this stuff that's old still there.
I can tell you now,
like there's folder names that you can't use still in modern operating systems because they're set aside from the DOS days.
Yeah. I mean, that's also why Microsoft went from Windows 8 to Windows 10 is because there existed enough code that was checking Windows version number by looking at the first, by the second character after Windows and doing stuff if it was 9. And so a lot of stuff would break if they named the operating system Windows 9, because a lot of people would say, oh, this is a Windows 95, Windows 98 version, not a modern one.
Wow.
Oh, see, I'm sticking with the theory that Windows 8 was such a flop, they wanted to distance themselves as quickly as possible.
I mean, I still use Windows 7 on this machine here. The one we're recording on right now is still Windows 7.
7 was good. I like 7.
7 was all right.
Yeah.
And it's no CE. Or ME. Or NT.
No, CE wasn't bad.
NT was fine.
Yeah, NT and CE were fine.
The fact that they spelled cement.
God. Not in the right order, though.
No. It's like freaking Elon Musk making sure his car is spelled out sexy. Fuck you, you moron.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, Model the Teslas Model are the series.
Tesla Y, yeah.
Yeah, oh he made his car spelled sexy because he's a fucking idiot. And he named his child slamming your forehead on a keyboard.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
I don't care how rich you are. You don't want your name to be that shit.
Oh, so speaking of rich people.
Yes,
today on Facebook, I'm not a rich person.
Based on your fucking getting laid off story about me.
Do you guys remember? I'll bring
that's just because I'm in the wrong field. It's the balance of, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring this right.
Having a shitty income with no college debt versus having a good income with standard American college debt. Yes. It's basically the same.
Yes. So anyways, the Kim Kardashian's married to Kanye West?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she posted on Facebook something about her Frisian horse with her child having this horse, and they have 14 horses, which is some godforsaken amount of money because it's just
it's expensive to upkeep a horse. Yeah. I mean,
they are delicious though.
That doesn't. So I grew up in Kentucky, and having the poor people have horses there. So that's
there's a difference between like poor people with a couple horses. It's the difference between owning a pet dog and like a purebred racing greyhound. Yeah. You know, those are very different worlds.
So the amazing part of this is like she didn't spell freeze. She even spelled the horse's name right in the thing. It's just like, what is going on with rich people? Why aren't you thinking about this?
She doesn't need to spell. She's rich.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I hate the Kardashians so much. That's part of the main crux of this. I just hate the Kardashians.
Hey, they earned their money by having a father who got a murderer set free.
Mm-hmm.
They earned that money.
Yep. Sure. Blame it all on OJ. Actually, blame it all on the media during the OJ trials.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Blame it all.
Blame it all on the prosecutor who decided to make him put on those gloves.
Well, that was Cochran.
Yeah. God damn it, Cochran.
No, Cochran was the other defense attorney.
Yeah. The prosecutor like allowed it to happen. He thought it would be like the nail in the coffin, and it just backfired.
No, I mean, you don't even have to get that far. The LA County Police Department put a detective on the case that there was a recorded conversation of him claiming that he planted evidence on black people to put them in prison.
So let's change claiming to admitting, because I guarantee it was true. So we'll just say that let's blame systemic racism in our police force.
Yes.
Finally boiling over to the point where the wrong person was acquitted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the problem.
It was only a matter of time before, you know, people got sick of shit like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the O.J. Simpson trial was that the L.A. County Police Department framed a guilty man. And the way the court system works, if you can prove you're framed, you don't have to go to prison. And so they proved that he was framed, and whether he did it or not, he went free.
It's the worst of both worlds. You had a guilty man go free, and yet those 1,000 people that they had framed beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud. My son's hugging me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Johnny, how are you today?
Hey.
Everyone say
anyway, hi. If this is going to be a short episode that ends at 8, we need to start on our Zappity Grumbles now.
Yeah, we should do that very quickly here. There's some in here that I'm going to actually put into our chat later on. I think they'll be good for actual topics later on. but I'll just go over some of the ones I think we can answer in a quick fashion. Brian Sin asks, are there no cats in War Machine because PP doesn't like them or because they don't want to see them die?
There's a cat in
there's
War Machine.
There's a cat. There's
Gibbs. A whole unit.
There's at least, yeah, Gibbs has a cat.
Yep.
And there's the Scorn. They're the Scorn.
Battle cats, yeah.
Yep.
The Ferox.
Yeah. All right, Zappity.
Yeah, so you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Gah.
PP likes cats. They just don't want to see them in danger, more likely. And if they're Scorn, who cares? They're like pain. I like the idea of how to fix the DCEU. We won't go over that.
While you're reading, I'll throw out my Zappity Grumble.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if Travis has seen Big Trouble in Little China. He's not a big movie guy.
No.
We need to have a movie night.
David, you've seen Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, but over 30 years ago.
That's fine. You're familiar with the three storms. Thunder, yes. Rain, and lightning. Marry, fuck, kill.
I haven't seen it in long enough.
I don't care.
Really. Marry,
fuck, kill. Thunder, rain, and lightning.
Okay.
Fuck thunder, marry lightning, a kill rain.
Wow, that's hurtful.
No, I would definitely kill thunder.
Really?
Yep, kill thunder. I think I would marry wind. Whatever the one is, the wind. The guy rain? With the long hair. Yeah, I think it's rain.
That's rain, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it seems like if I would go that way, that lightning would be a good F.
See, I am fucking Rain because, you know, he's a beautiful man. He's got the long, silky, flowing hair.
That's why I want to marry.
He's fine. Yeah. I'm killing Lightning because he's just violent and doesn't do anything the whole movie. Like, he looks really impressive. He's worthless. So I'm killing his ass. And Thunder's the secret Mary because he took place of that. He took care of that company, man. He doubted on Lopan. He ran that business. He's the one that you want as a partner for life.
Did you bring that in just to bring that in because you said you would have a discussion about it?
Well, I said I was going to have a discussion about it because I wanted to have a discussion about it, and then I brought it in because I wanted to have a discussion about it. I wasn't joking in chat when I said I was going to bring this up.
All right. Haven't seen.
Also, David, you need to watch Big Trouble in Little China now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have the cups from it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Big Lebowski either. So,
oh Jesus, Zappity.
Yeah, honestly, you should just go and look up on IMDb the Coen Brothers and just literally go
just
down
watch
their whole list. It's you could skip fucking No Country for Old Men because that movie sucks ass suckage. It does exactly what I was doing at 6:25 to this evening.
Okay.
You start watching it at 5 o'clock, and at 6:25, that's when
I will allow that.
Zappity. See, there's like a discussion on why Rogue One is the second best Star Wars movie.
Rogue One, no. No, is that in no way the second best Star Wars movie. Absolutely. Everybody ranks that one way too far.
Rogue One is really good.
I rank it really up pretty good. High. Yeah,
it's really high on my list.
It is really bad.
No,
why?
Yeah.
I like Empire and Return of the Jedi more than Rogue One, but Rogue One's probably my number three.
I mean, it is terrible. I mean, the pacing's terrible. The plot is garbage. The characters are all uninteresting. Mm-hmm. It has too many villains. Mm-hmm. There's no character arcs. There's no character arcs.
Yeah, sure. There's one where they introduce them to you as living, and then they die. That's a character arc.
That's not a character arc, right? Like the
spoiler alert.
Jyn Erso isn't too bad as a main one, right? And everybody likes the robot because robots are funny and whatever.
Yeah.
But like, what's his name? Prince Caspian? Cashew Nut? What's the boy toy? He's fucking terrible. He's awful. Everybody's motivations are all over the place. Again, there are at least three villains in that movie, and two of them at least don't need to be. You don't need Thrawn in there at all. at all.
Thrawn's not in that one.
Yes, he is, because he's CGI'd and terrible.
No, you're thinking about...
No. Thrawn's not in...
You're not thinking about Thrawn. It's...
Tarkin. My apologies. Yeah.
Tarkin would have been fine if they were just pulled away. They didn't need him to be in your face.
You can have Krennic be in charge of the Death Star, and then he dies, and then in the closing credits, Thrawn is brought in as a replacement, as a little trivia thing, or not even. Like, he doesn't need to be in the movie. Tarkin, Jesus, sorry. If you're going to have somebody that's... So now you have Krennic, who's supposed to be your main villain, but there are two different villains, each of which have 5 minutes of screen time that are his superior. So pick one of those two. Have Vader up his ass or have Tarkin up his ass. You don't need both.
Yeah, because
that's just bad filmmaking.
Sure. Like, the Vader scene is the best scene in Star Wars.
Yeah, get rid of Tarkin. Be Vader. Have him in charge. Have Krennic in charge of the Death Star, and Vader coming down and being like, "Emperor's not happy with how shit's going. Get stuff done," just like he does in
Wasn't there a whole bunch of issues kind of similar to Solo, where that there was a bunch of reshoots in Rogue One?
I think there's a
scene and that's in the trailer that's not in the movie. It's with the fucking TIE fighter outside the.
They do that all the time, though.
Yeah.
They do that all the time. But, like, Forrest Whitaker's character is just a waste of time.
Anytime I can see Forrest Whitaker's lazy eye, I'm a happy man.
You have the scene where the tentacle monster tortures the pilot, and they're like, it's destroyed his mind, and then that's never a thing. He's just fine two scenes later.
One or the other.
Right? Fair. This is all terrible. It's all fucking terrible. We just forgive it because it's Star Wars.
And it's better than some of the other Star Wars.
Solo is way better than Rogue One. Way better. Solo has one stupid scene that is irredeemably stupid, and the rest of the movie is way better start to finish than Rogue One.
Are you going to complain about the name scene?
Yeah, it's the worst scene. It's absolutely stupid. And it doesn't need to exist. His name is Han Solo because his dad's name was Bob Solo and his grandma was Mary Solo. His family name's just fucking Solo. I know that you're explaining where he gets his gun and where he gets the TIE fighter or the Millennium Falcon and where he gets Chewbacca and where he gets his black gay friend. And I know that you're doing this whole thing because you have no creativity and you decide you need to shove every single character aspect into the one film. But just leave his fucking name out of it at least.
Yeah, I would love to see what the other director's cut was of that film.
Yeah, because they're amazing.
Yep.
Like the freaking 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, Enter the Spider-Verse. Like those guys are amazing. I would have loved a Solo movie by them, but I definitely Solo is the second best of the new films. It's the fifth best Star Wars movie.
Sure. I don't have a game in this race.
It's 6-5-4-7 Solo, 8-9 Rogue One, 2-3 or 1-2-1-3-2. 2's the worst. Sorry, I flipped the bottom one there.
Yeah, two is definitely the worst.
It's the worst film ever made, dollar for dollar.
Yeah. Battlefield Earth may compete with it.
Oh my God, Battlefield Earth is awful.
Yes. Oh, but Battlefield Earth is worth it for one scene. Again, one scene can sink and one scene can redeem. This is unironically an amazing scene. It's not even like a.
When they give
him rats, do you remember that, Travis?
No, I don't. So
they're watching. You know, he's desperate, and they like have him in a prison, and he's starving to death. So he just like catches a rat and eats this raw rat just out of desperate survival instinct. And so the villains are watching it, and they're like, "Oh, look. He likes to eat rats." So then later when they're trying to bribe him, they're like, "We got you a present." And they just like dump some rats on the table. That's unironically good writing.
So here's my problem, though, is if one scene can make it good, wouldn't the Vader scene from Rogue One make Rogue One amazing?
No, because the Vader. No.
Nope. It does tonally change.
One good scene can make a shitty movie. Like, Battlefield Earth is never going to be a good movie, right?
Never.
But the one scene can be entertaining enough that you'll drunk watch it for fun. Rogue One is disappointing enough that it's not redeemed by a good scene, and it's not terrible enough to be drunk, ironic, watch fun.
The only issue I have with the ending of Rogue One going into the beginning of Last Hope. Jeez, what am I thinking of?
New Hope.
New Hope, Jesus. New Hope. The only issue I have with it is that it's tonally different. Like, yeah, Vader is on a fucking rampage at the end of Rogue One, which is what we've always wanted to see. But then after that, he's like, I'm just walking around.
Yeah. He's totally calm in four.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why doesn't R2 ever fly? Like, that's the same issue with this shit.
Yeah.
Also, I may get stabbed for this, but A New Hope is one of the most overrated films ever. It's not a bad movie, but it is not nearly as good as Empire or Return of the Jedi.
So it's not. What I'll give New Hope is New Hope is in the same class as something like Citizen Kane, where it isn't as good of a movie as people say it is, but its importance and its revolutionary aspects cannot be overstated.
It's culturally and societally mindful.
And functionally. Like, filmmaking changed forever with Citizen Kane. Star Wars mattered, like, at the time. It changed things. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, now, in hindsight, if you just watch it, I'm like, well, I guess it's okay.
Yeah,
I
mean, distance.
Thing is,
I will accept that, but I don't. But again, I think A New Hope was not nearly as good as most Star Wars fans think it is.
Try this. Find somebody who hasn't seen the Star Wars series and start them off directly with Empire Strikes Back. And see if they like it as much as we do, as most people that have watched it in order.
When Empire needs the setup of New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not. It just falls flat on its face if it doesn't have New Hope.
But also, that could still be that Empire is so good that it was able to elevate based on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Rogue One has the best scene, has the best Vader scene. The second best Vader scene is in the game Jedi Fallen Order. Because have any of you guys played
through that one of the ones where he pulls a Star Destroyer out of space?
No.
No, that's one of the games is that. That's a different one. That's a different apprentice. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. No, I mean, minor spoiler alert. Vader is kind of the last boss of the game, except they do a good job with the storytelling that your character is a new Jedi, and so you have no expectation to fight Vader. And they do an amazing job of just showing up, and you're like, oh shit, it's Vader, I'd better run. And that's exactly how you get through the encounter.
Sure.
Because Vader's a badass, and he's never shown as the badass. That's my biggest issue with the films is 4, 5, and most of 6. You don't see Vader being a badass.
Yeah,
you just hear about Vader being a badass.
If we're going out of film, the best Vader scene ever is in the comics. Because there's a scene where he crash lands on a planet, he gets shot down, like 100 troops land, and they say, "We have you surrounded." And he says the glorious line, "All I am surrounded by is fear and dead men."
Yes.
That turns out he was right.
That is the thing I love most about Vader. Vader's always portrayed as a mighty glacier kind of character in the movies. He is not that in the comics or in the shows or anything like that. He is not a mighty glacier. He is a monster that you can't beat.
Right, because he's a Sith, and Anakin, even amongst all the Sith, was pretty passionate and emotion-driven, even comparatively speaking. So to have Vader be very robotic retroactively doesn't make sense based on all that other stuff. Like, within the original trilogy, Vader was glacial, he was robotic, he was stoic, he was mysterious, but then all the extended universe turned him into this super badass, highly emotional guy, and so it kind of doesn't jive anymore.
So as you get older, maybe you get control of that. I mean, that's
also as you're in like a life support system and
for how many years? 30 years using it,
dude. So the extended universe got so dumb just with everybody throwing stuff in there. There's a great Red Letter Media video where they just read the whole Wikipedia article about Vader's suit, and one of the moments that is like, Jesus, how is this shit canon? Was they talk about that Vader was going to get an upgraded suit, but the Emperor decided not to for budgetary cut reasons. like they're like, sorry Vader, like, we need that money to go towards an elementary school getting new ceiling tiles so you can't get new knees.
So I think
Vader doesn't care about kids.
Why was that a thing?
They fixed it later because they always said that or the thing that I've always heard is that Vader never got a good suit to keep him under control by the Emperor. Sure. But that's the other saying now.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about elementary kids.
I wish we'd gotten the original version of 9. Like, nothing in 9 was supposed to be in 9. You can see, like, the original script that leaked online and the concept arts and stuff. There was no Palpatine. There was none. Basically, if you go anything in 9 that undoes previous movies, like, for example, who's Rey's parents and, you know, who's the villain, all of that stuff was added because they panicked with the backlash over Last Jedi and just wanted to undo it all as much as possible.
Yeah, 9 is not a good movie, in my opinion, because it is literally just a subtraction throughout the entire movie.
I mean,
I seem to be in the minority, but I actually like The Last Jedi.
I do, too.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I have issues with it, but I think it's solid. I think tonally it's all over the place. I think my biggest issue with it is that they turn General Hux into a laughing stock, which takes away all of his threat, which means I'm not worried for my heroes anymore, which means the tension's not there. Like the yo mama joke in the first 5 minutes of the film, like that's no good. But all the bigger concepts like Rey's lineage and the concept of letting go of the past and failure, none of those do I have issues with.
Yeah. I enjoyed 8. I always was one of the people that I was like, why is everyone hating 8 around me? Like, there's flaws, like you're saying, but
yeah, I could have used one less casino scene, and that's otherwise. Yeah, the casino scene, we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Plus, it even introduces a plot hole. So you have people escape from this unescapable situation just so they can have a completely pointless adventure and then escape back.
Yeah.
It would have been much better if they actually got actual help. If they escaped, you know, actually got like a reserve crew that would come back and try to take out the Star Destroyers that were chasing them.
But man, 9 just, I mean, there were even parts of it that I thought were redeemable, that they could have added like one scene and redeemed half of the movie, but it's like they didn't seem to think that far ahead.
Oh, there's one scene that just, that still brings me shivers though, is the Hey Kid. That sequence.
Although that obviously was supposed to be that person's spouse.
Yes. But
and they just couldn't film it that way.
Yeah. But it was still really good.
I watched an interesting talk about 8, and they're saying the casino subplot would have been saved a lot if instead of Rose and Finn, it was Finn and Poe.
Oh, sure. But
sure.
And then keep Rose on the ship and have her do other stuff over there. But let Finn and Poe play off of each other and have that same cynical and optimistic clash. And that's much better arcs for both of them than what they got.
And the ship for Finn and Poe would be much stronger as well.
Also, just let him be fucking gay. Don't give me two random lesbians in the background of 9 kissing for a quarter of a second just so we know you're just going to cut it out for the Chinese market. Like, fuck you. Just have Finn and Poe be gay. Just do it. Whatever. Nobody gives a shit. Just, and if they give a shit, fuck them.
And you just have no dialogue that leads up to it. Just a scene that does it so you can chop it out for the Chinese market.
Yeah, just them. Yeah. Like, matter of fact, hey, they're gay. Whatever. Move on.
Just a random, just no intro, just you smash cut to them fucking in the shower on the way back from the casino planet. Just full 9.5 weeks, like, you know, like food, everything. Like a tasteful, like 5 to 10 minute hardcore sex scene, and then bam, now they're back. So you can easily just excise that for the international markets.
It would be an upgrade over the casino scene.
Yeah, you just go full on animated too. Yeah,
give me the yaoi. That's all I'm asking for. You gotta give me the yaoi.
All right, I'm gonna post most of these over in here. We actually talked about a couple of the topics already. Jacob Collins had asked a classic rant about Star Wars episodes 8 and 9, which
we there you go. There.
Worst movie you've watched multiple times on purpose. I think Nathan's watched Battlefield Earth a ton of times on purpose. Best movie you'll never watch again. So,
good Battlefield Earth drinking game, by the way. Drink every time there's a Dutch angle.
Dog. You drink enough. The whole fucking room is a Dutch angle.
This is a Dutch angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole
okay. Ebert's review said it best. Battlefield Earth was directed by somebody who knew that movies used Dutch angles but didn't know why.
Thing is, though, you drink enough, though, your whole view of the movie is going to be a Dutch angle.
Yeah, which will correct it. Then they'll be straight up and down, and the movie's way better.
And then I guess
it's like steering into the spin when your car's on the ice, right?
Yeah.
You just got to drink into the Dutch angle.
That is a podcast name. That's the perfect podcast name. Drink into the Dutch angle. there's the one last thought here. So it looks like Knights Machine is, I guess they're a podcast or a gaming group that are trying to resurrect the Press Gangers organization. I mean, it's been done a couple times with a lot of very enthusiastic people. I wish them the best, and I hope it does well. That's
Godspeed, you know, trying to get a organized volunteer group, and God bless them for meaning well. But all I will say is that given how fast the announcements all went away, my recommendation to people is that before you use somebody else's term for a group and slogan for a group, double check that it's okay.
Yeah, and when you're trying to do something that is built around organized face-to-face gaming, you might want to make sure that there isn't a second plague coming out of China.
But yeah, when it's like the press gang, you bring the bodies, we bring the game, and I'm like, yeah, that seems like something that probably had a trademark symbol next to it once upon a time, and maybe
they might not actually actively use it at this time, but I mean it is something that's. Actually,
I mean, it's a pandemic. They may be literally bringing the bodies.
Oh, yeah. But I think
Travis has no comment about this whole conversation, by the way.
Yeah.
Travis, like, not even to say no comment. He's just going to sit there. No, yeah.
I mean,
shake his head slowly. That'll do.
Because I think that the Press King technically officially went away in December of 2019. Like the actual the finalization of all the points was December of 2019.
Yes.
So I mean it's an active thing that has been around. I mean they just disbanded the people that are participating in the program at that time. Like in 2017, I want to say maybe.
I can go look at my feet.
Yeah. That's
ooh, Sour Patch Kids. Travis, can I have those Sour Patch Kids?
These ones?
Yeah. Sour Patch Kids are so good.
We have to meet together to exchange Sour
Patch Steak and Sour Patch Kids.
They might actually be really good.
Well, the Sour Patch Kids are for dessert after the steak. Oh. It's not like a side dish.
Oh, okay.
They're not going to melt them on top.
You could.
All right, so we go into recommendations quick. We're 5 minutes over of David's time.
Yeah.
Well, David can go first. Go, okay. David, go.
I'm going to recommend finishing your dissertation. And I'm going to try to take my recommendation here because my defense is scheduled 1 month from now.
Good luck, sir.
And yeah.
Thank you. I will post the link because we're doing it as a Zoom meeting because we're in the middle of a plague and it isn't actually going to be in person. So. People can watch me talk about software testing research.
Nice.
I say this because I know a lot of people are going to show up for support for me doing it, but Travis might actually enjoy it.
Yeah, you're doing stuff in my profession. Like I understand what you talk about.
Yeah. My recommendation will be quick because Andy will kick me off the podcast. But today. As I am recording this, so June 30th was the launch day for the newest Gwent expansion, the Master Mirror expansion, with like 84 new cards. I built a Wild Hunt Frost deck. It is terrible, and I keep losing, but I'm having a blast. I'm going to do a Siri Nova Doom deck something. Next.
Okay, so, yes, I can. Yes, I can mute Nathan. That's good to know.
With all the new Doomed, the cards that give units Doomed, it's perfect for Siri Nova, so her day has come. But yeah, surprise, I recommend Gwent.
I believe that Terraria is on Steam sale right now.
You can't recognize that. You already recommended it. You're not allowed to recommend a game for a second time.
Yeah.
Christ.
The joke is that I just recommended Gwent for the fifth time, Travis.
Have you counted how many times you've
You've probably recommended Gwent a lot more than five times.
Is that the actual number? Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's been five or it's just or just the trauma of it makes it seem like
it's a multiple. It's a multiple of five.
It's four or five, I think. Yeah, Travis. yeah, go on with Terraria. Is it on sale?
It was. I haven't relooked, but it was on sale when I looked last or saw that it was on sale.
So Travis recommends buying Terraria last week.
Yes. Travis recommends buying it when it's on sale.
That's true. That's true. I'm probably late now.
Andrew?
My quick recommendation is watch Westworld Season 3. Westworld Season 3.
I watched the first two episodes of Season 3.
It's not... The best recommendation for it is it's not Season 2. So, I mean, it's... Solid overall. I mean, it's got a couple of twists and turns that you wouldn't expect, but it's not as in depth as like season one and season two depths and turns. Season one had a lot of turns that were actually really well thought out and crafted. Season two had lots of twists and turns that were just put there to seem like they were really
trying
well
to be season
out.
One. Yeah. Yeah.
But season three is a very big divergence from there. It still relies on a lot of things that are set up in season one and two. But overall it's really good. You should watch it. Get your HBO Max or get your HBO Go, and watch all of it. It's only like eight
I recommend
episodes.
That HBO have half as many streaming services.
Well, you can complain to Warner Brothers about that.
Like, I don't even know what the deal is with Max and Go and Go, isn't there like an HBO Pro or something?
No,
nope. HBO Now was it Now?
HBO Now was basically what Max used to or what Max is now.
Whatever.
But
so July 9th is when the promotion ends for Terraria, and I'm going to add on a special second recommendation.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
On July 9th,
son of a bitch,
right?
On July, yeah, on July 9th is when that comes through. But on July 7th,
oh, I was thinking the wrong
Private Press keynote is going to be happening, and I'm planning on streaming the rest of the day afterwards, just talking about the keynote because screw work. Why would I do any work after a keynote? I'm going to talk about new stuff.
Well, to be honest, I was actually very surprised that the keynote didn't happen this weekend.
Last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, last weekend.
Because that was when Lock and Load was supposed to be happening, is last weekend, unfortunately. Mm. But yeah, no, I'm happy that it's coming out. I'm excited to see what cool things are coming out. I'm excited to see what Travis had known about all this time, and then so we can throttle him.
I already future. Have a Facebook group, babe.
Oh, Jesus Hooray! Christ.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
What?
Wait, you shouldn't say that, though. There's going to be people looking to see what you've done.
It's
private. Hidden. Yeah, it's hidden. It doesn't show up. Mm. All right. Well, it's 8:10. David has to turn into a pumpkin.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening. We should be back in 2 weeks. Maybe Remember back sooner. Washington. Who knows?
Who yeah. knows? Yep. I'll be streaming Gwent.
Well, Travis, do you want to talk about this on the podcast after the 7th? Because that'll be in about 2 weeks.
I don't know what this is.
The podcast. Here, keynote? What we're doing here. Talk about the keynote sure. as a podcast yeah. after it. Okay.
Yeah, I'd be fine. No.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. David has to go, and I need to do what Andy was doing before we started recording.
No, it was a little bit more release than that.
Anyway.
See you guys later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.